कारणतो यसाई गर्भोदशाई च पयोधिसाई शेषश्च यस्यं सकला सनित्या नन्दाख्य रामा शरणं ममस्तु। मे श्री नित्यानंद राम be the object of my constant remembrance. Shankarshan, Shesha, Naga, and the Vishnus who lie on the Karna ocean, Garbha ocean, and ocean of milk are his plenary portions and the portions of his plenary portions. Mayatate vyapti vaikuntha loke Purnaishwarye Sri Chaturvyuha Madhye Rupam Yasyo Bhati Shankarshanakyam Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prabhajye. I surrender unto the lotus feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, who is known as Shankarshan, in the midst of Chaturvyuha, consisting of Vasudev, Shankarshan, Prajumana, and Aniruddha. He possesses full opulences and resides in Vaikuntha Loka, far beyond the material creation. Maya Bharata Janda Sankashayanga Sethe Sakshat Karanam Bodhi Madhye Yasyai Kamsa Sri Puman Adi Devas Tam Sri Nityananda Ramam Prabhadye. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose partial representation called Karanodakshayi Vishnu, lying on the Karana ocean, is the original Purusha, the mastery of the illusory energy, in the shelter of all the universes. Yasyam sa shrila garabodashayi yannabhi abjam lokasangatha nalam lokasrastu sutika dhamadhatus tam sri nityanandaramam prabhajyei. I offer my full obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, a partial part of whom is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. From the navel of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu sprouts the lotus. That is the birthplace of Lord Brahma, the engineer of the universe. The stem of that lotus is the resting place of the multitude of planets. Yasyam sayam samsa paratmakakilam koshta vishnur bhati dudhadvishayi shomi bharatayat khalasopyanantas tam sri nityananda ramam prabhajyei. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the feet of Sri Nityananda Ram, whose secondary part is the Vishnu lying in the ocean of milk. That Chirodakshayi Vishnu is the supersoul of all living entities and the maintainer of all the universes. Sheshanaga is his further subpart. Today we are celebrating the most auspicious appearance of Lord Sri Nityananda Prabhu. We have read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita the wonderful description of the tattva or the truths of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. He is the original expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in that he is non-different than Lord Balaram. He is not an expansion of Balaram, but rather he is Balaram himself. with his full opulences, who is eternally manifested in this most merciful, compassionate of all personalities, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Narottam Das Thakur has sung Brajandra Nandana Jai Sachishuta Hoilo Se Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Krishna is the origin of all avatars. He is the origin of everything that exists. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. And in the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan, the topmost planet of the Vaikunthas, Krishna expands himself as Lord Balaram for the purpose of enjoying infinite pleasurable pastimes. Lord Balaram is the Lord who manifests to serve himself in every way. It is through Lord Balaram that the spiritual world is manifested. Or when it is eternal, we cannot say manifested, but it is actually the expansion of Balaram that is the spiritual world. And Balaram, in his great eagerness and enthusiasm to serve his own self in the form of Krishna, manifests himself as the Lord's shoes, as the Lord's bedstead, as the Lord's clothing, sometimes his jewelry, his umbrella, his paraphernalia. In this way, Balaram is the ultimate servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Srila Prabhupada said, there is no difference between Krishna and Balaram. One has a beautiful complexion like a dark rain cloud, and one has a beautiful complexion like a newly formed spring cloud, pure and white. But Balaram always takes the position of the servant of the Lord to assist the Lord in his transcendental pastimes. It is from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Balaram, that the Chaturvyuha, Aniruddha, Shankarshan, Vasudeva, and Prajumana are manifested. It is from them that Narayana Vaikuntha is manifested. And then there is a secondary Chaturvyuha, and from that Shankarshan, whose origin is Balaram himself, comes the original Purusha, responsible for the creation of material existence, Karana Dakshayi Vishnu, who lies in the great Karana ocean in the state of Yoga Nidra, and as he is breathing, exhaling, all the universes come out from the pores of his body. As he inhales, all the universes go into his body and enter into an unmanifested state. From Karana Dakshayi Vishnu comes Garbhoga Dakshayi Vishnu, who lives in the Garbhodak ocean, from whose navel sprouts a lotus on which the secondary creator, Lord Brahma, is born. From that Garbhodakshayi Vishnu is manifested Kirodakshayi Vishnu, who lies within the Svetadvip planet near Dhruvaloka in this material existence, a Vaikuntha planet within the material world. It is from Kirodakshayi Vishnu that the demigods bow down and pray whenever they are in great distress. And through him, the various incarnations come to this world to deliver the pious, to annihilate the miscreants, and to reestablish the principles of religion. And that same Kshirodakshayi Vishnu enters in and between every atom within creation and enters within the heart of every living entity who is situated in every species of life as the Paramatma or Supersoul, who is the witness of all of our words, all of our thoughts, and all of our actions. The constant companion, the eternal friend of every living entity is the Paramatma. And all of these great expansions and incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are all coming from Shankarshan Balaram, who is Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Sri Krishna appears in the age of Kali as Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Balaram appears as his older brother, Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu is called the original Guru because Guru means the servant of the Lord. Guru means one who teaches others the process of how to serve the Lord and surrender to the Lord. So on this most holy and worshipable day of Nityananda Trayodashi, we have the great fortune of begging, praying for the mercy of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and purifying our hearts by remembering his wonderful pastimes and his most beautiful mercy upon his devotees. So it was on this day that the year 1474 that Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared within this world. He appeared at a place called Garbhavas in the holy Tirtha of Ekachakra, which is in the Burdwan district of Bengal. His father was Hadai Pandit, who was completely renounced from all material attachments, who was most learned scholar, who was a pure unalloyed devotee of the Lord. In fact, he is an eternal associate of the Lord who has descended from the spiritual world to perform this wonderful pastime. The mother was Padmavati, who was the pleasure potency of the Lord himself. And through the womb of Mother Padmavati, Sri Nityananda Prabhu appeared within this world. And when he appeared in the area called Radhadesh, the drought that was then plaguing the area was immediately vanquished. In fact, all prosperity came about. There was wonderful rains, beautiful, auspicious constellations in their supreme states in the sky, and all the Brahmins' hearts became naturally blissful, and flowers were growing, and birds were singing. Everything was just full of abundance, full of auspiciousness, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead had descended in the village of Ekachakra. A simple and humble place. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu was very young, he was so beautiful, attractive, with his golden complexion and wonderful lotus-like eyes. It is explained how, from his earliest years, his mother and his father and all the people of Ekachakra, they loved him more than their own lives. And of course, this was in reciprocation for the natural, infinite love that he gave all of them. And that love showered upon them through his mere glance. Nityananda Prabhu, from his very infancy, had this power that whoever he glanced upon was just inundated with the divine love of his heart. And they drowned in that love. They could not give up looking at him. They could not give up his association. When he was a child, they would just want to embrace him. And when they embraced him, he reciprocated in such a way that their hearts were feeling ecstatic love. and even on the physical platform, his body was so soft, it is said that it felt like a puppet made out of cream. Who could possibly give up from embracing him to their heart? When he was very little, he had many playful sports with his friends. But those games were always the enactments of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. Sometimes the children would go in a room and they would turn all the lights out. Actually, before that, one of them would, they would all dress up as demigods, and one would dress up as a cow representing Mother Earth, and they would pray to Lord Brahma, and one of the children, along with Brahma, was praying to Vishnu, and then a voice would come from the sky that, "I am soon coming to deliver you from the and remove the burden of this earth." Then they would turn all the lights out in a room, and they would enact the wonderful birth of Krishna in the cell of Kamsa. And one of the children would take a little doll representing Krishna and carry him across the river to bring to Gokul. Nityananda Prabhu was the producer, the director, and the leading actor in most of these wonderful pastimes. He would dress one little child up as Putana, and then he would take another child who would climb upon her and suck the poison from her and cause her to die. Then they would construct, they would have all these little projects, they would construct a little cart made out of reeds and wood. And he would put one little boy like Krishna who would kick the cart and it would break. Sometimes when they were playing, they would perform the wonderful pastimes of stealing butter. But they wanted nice participation of everyone, so they would break in people's houses in Ekachakra. And like Krishna and Balaram and the friends, they would steal their butter and their milk and their yogurt. And other times, they would enact the pastimes of the killing of Bakasura, Aghasura, Vatsasura. Sometimes Lord Nityananda Prabhu and his friends would perform the pastime of the lifting of Govardhan Hill, the stealing of the garments of the gopis, all of Krishna's wonderful pastimes. And at one time, they performed the pastime of Akura, taking Krishna out of Vrindavan. And Nityananda Prabhu, he played the part of Gopi, and he was crying, he was weeping incessantly, rivers of tears. And the people of Ekachakra were thinking, how is he crying so much? Is this a game? Who is this person? And another time, there was a Bakula tree, which is still there today, a descendant of that tree. And it is said that that tree had branches and leaves that looked like the heads of cobras. So they would take those branches and they would bring it to a little lake called Padmavati Kund. This lake is where Mother Padmavati would every day go to take, give bath to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And they would make, just like out of these branches, a Kaliya serpent. And Nityananda Prabhu would dance on the hoods of those serpents. And his friends never wanted to give up his association. They would be late for prasad at home. They would be late for coming home to take rest. Parents are usually very angry with their children when they're always late, when they never want to come home. The parents would always have to come and drag their children to come home. But in this case, whenever they would see the beautiful form of Lord Nityananda, all of their anger would subside. They were simply happy that their children was with Nityananda. They were in bliss. They would embrace him when they would see him. He also performed with his children, friends, the wonderful pastimes of Vamana Dev and Varaha Dev and Narasingha Dev, and especially the pastimes of Lord Ram. In these pastimes, Nityananda Prabhu would take the role of Lakshman. Sometimes he and his friends would dress up as monkeys and build a bridge across the ocean. Sometimes as Lakshman, he would kill Indrajit. At one time, one friend was disguised as Ravana. And as they were fighting, he said, "I will kill you with my Shakti Shila." And he threw a very soft lotus flower on the chest of Nityananda Prabhu. And so absorbed in this pastime, Nityananda Prabhu fell to the ground, and there was no symptoms of life in his body. And his friends were trying to awaken him, but he would not wake up. And then they began to cry. And then Hadai Pandit and Padmavati and all the older people of Ekachakra, the parents, they all came and they saw him laying there. And they thought, "What is wrong? What happened? I just threw a lotus flower on him, but there's no symptoms of life in his body. He was laying there for hours, and they were all crying. Everyone was weeping, crying." And then one intelligent person said, "I remember some time back, he performed a similar pastime like this. I think that if Hanuman brings the herbs, then he will come back to life." So then all the friends said, "Yes, now we remember. Before we performed this pastime, Nityananda said, 'When I fall unconscious, make sure Hanuman brings the herbs from the Gandhamadana mountain.'" So then one boy who was Hanuman, he started running. And as he was running, one boy dressed as a crocodile attacked him. And Hanuman fought the crocodile and defeated him. And another boy was dressed as a rakshasa. He said, "You may have killed the crocodile, but I will eat you." And then the boy was wrestling and fighting with the rakshasa. And ultimately, Hanuman defeated the boy as the rakshasa. And then there was Gandharvas who were trying to tempt Hanuman into pleasures to distract his attention. But Hanuman said, "I am the servant of Ram." And then he got the Gandhamadana mountain and brought it back to where Nityananda Prabhu was laying. And one little friend who was playing the role of a doctor, he took some herbs from that mountain and placed them near Lord Nityananda, and immediately he got up. And Hadai Pandit and Padmavati began to embrace him in great love, and all the children began to dance in great happiness, chanting the glories of the Lord. In this way, Lord Nityananda Prabhu spent the first 12 years of his earthly pastimes. Simply nothing. He played no game except the pastimes of the Lord. Day and night, he was just absorbed. Sometimes the adults would ask him, "How? You're so young with your friends. You haven't even read any books. You haven't heard any kathas. How do you know all these pastimes?" And Nityananda Prabhu would say, "These are my pastimes." But nobody could understand what he was saying because they were covered by the power of Yogamaya. So, Lord Nityananda, at the age of 12, at that year, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Srinavadvipa Dham. And the moment that Lord Chaitanya appeared, Nityananda Prabhu, who was just a little boy, he was in such ecstasy, he began to roar. And as he roared, the whole universe was shaking. And people were wondering, "What is this roar? What is this tumultuous sound?" And some were
Some were saying, I think Nityananda is a great soul, or perhaps he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Anyways, Lord Nityananda was thinking that it was his purpose of incarnating in this world, especially to assist Lord Chaitanya in his wonderful pastimes. And in order to do this, he had to leave home. And how could he possibly leave home? His mother and father were so deeply attached to him in ecstatic love. So by his divine arrangement, one day, a mysterious sannyasi came to Ekachakra. To this day, no one in the world knows his name. When that sannyasi arrived, Hadai Pandit greeted him with great devotion, invited him into his home. He told him that, please come and take prasad. The sannyasi said, I will take prasad only if you give me charity by fulfilling my desire. And Hadai Pandit said, yes, of course, whatever you want. So he said, all right, then I will take your prasad. And he took the prasad. And all night long, this sannyasi was explaining the wonderful pastimes of Lord Krishna to Hadai Pandit. And the next day, at the time of dawn, as the sun was rising, the sannyasi was about to leave. And Hadai Pandit asked, how may I serve you? He said, I ask this charity of you. Give me your eldest son, Nityananda, to travel with me to the holy places of pilgrimage, because I am a sannyasi, and I will be traveling much, and I require a brahmachari as my servant. When Hadai Pandit heard this, it was like a thunderbolt cracking against his heart. And when his good wife, Padmavati, heard this, her heart just broke into millions of pieces. Hadai Pandit did not know, what can I do? He is asking not for my son, he is asking for my life. But then he began to think that according to the principles of religion, one must give in charity to those great souls who are devotees of the Lord. And he began to meditate upon how Vishwamitra Muni came to Maharaj Dasarath in Ayodhya and asked for his son, Lord Ramchandra. And how, although Dasarath loved Ram more than his own life for the purpose of serving the great souls and maintaining the true principles of Dharma, he offered his son in charity to Vishwamitra. Hadai Pandit went to Padmavati and asked, what should we do? I think we have to give our son. And Srimati Padmavati said, my dear husband, whatever you decide is what I desire. But what greatly astonished Hadai Pandit is that Nityananda Prabhu was completely detached and eager to leave. Lord Nityananda was given over to the sannyasi with great respect and devotion by Hadai Pandit and Padmavati. And as they were under a banyan tree, Padmavati, her heart was so broken, she just began to cry and to weep. And she called out, how will I possibly live without my child? And at that time, the sannyasi took out of his little bag a beautiful little deity of Krishna. And he gave it to Padmavati, and he said, you worship this deity, and all your desires will be fulfilled.
And Padmavati looked at the deity, and when she looked in the deity's face, she saw Lord Nityananda's face within the deity. And that deity's name is Muralidhar, and it was the original deity of Ekachakra, which today is still being worshipped. So as the sannyasi was leaving with Lord Nityananda, Hadai Pandit, and all the residents of Ekachakra, they couldn't believe what was happening. They were just looking, and they became paralyzed. Nobody could move a limb of their body. The only movement that was there were tears incessantly flowing from people's eyes. And Lord Nityananda did not even turn back as he left with this great sannyasi. And then somehow or other, they came to their senses that Nityananda is gone. This cannot be. We have to. And all the people of the town were thinking, I will give the sannyasi my own son. I will give the sannyasi all my sons. But Nityananda cannot leave. So they wanted to somehow or other dissuade him or make some sort of trade. And they all, everyone of Ekachakra went chasing after the sannyasi and Nityananda. But they were nowhere to be found. People were searching and looking and running and jumping. But they all returned to the village with broken hearts. And it is explained that after that, Ekachakra became like a ghost town. There was no life. There was no sound. Most of the people, they could not bear seeing the places where Lord Nityananda would have his pastimes without seeing Lord Nityananda. It was too painful. To see that beautiful Bakula tree, to see Padmavati Kund, to see the Garbhavas where he took his birth. It reminded them so much of Lord Nityananda, it increased their pain of separation so much that practically everyone in the village just left to go to somewhere else, completely immersed in the thought of Lord Nityananda. And Hadai Pandit, who could possibly comprehend the ecstasy of separation, which appeared to be in the form of intense suffering? He stood like a statue. He did not eat. He did not drink. He did not sleep for 3 months. He only cried. And his crying was so intensely filled with devotion that it would melt even stone. Even the most wicked yavanas would be, their hearts would melt upon hearing the wonderful story of Hadai Pandit's separation. And after a few months, how did Hadai Pandit exist? It was only by the thought of Lord Nityananda that maintained his body. And then submersed in the feelings of separation for his beloved son, Hadai Pandit gave up his mortal body and his soul entered into the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan. One may ask, why Lord Nityananda Prabhu left his parents in such a state of agony when they were such great devotees and they gave their lives, their soul, everything only for his pleasure? Who could give up such parents? And it is explained that no one can understand the activities of Vishnu and his devotees. For the sake of higher spiritual principles, devotees are willing to leave behind anything and everything. The example is given that Devahuti was a widowed woman, helplessly depending on her son. And yet Lord Kapila Dev, after discussing Sankhya philosophy with her, left her behind and entered into the forest. And how Lord Ramchandra, without a second thought, entered into the forest leaving Dasarath and Kausalya in an ocean of tears. And how Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his aged and widowed mother, in order to preach the message of Godhead, he left her behind to accept sannyas. In this way, for the sake of divine religious principles, one has the absolute right to discard all material and social obligations. And this is the history, the greatest history of Dharma throughout the ages. Lord Nityananda Prabhu with the sannyasi went on pilgrimage. First they went to Gaya, then to Prayag, to Varanasi, to Ayodhya. In Ayodhya, in the mood of Lakshman, he simply wept and cried as he was thinking of his wonderful pastimes there, bathing in the Sharayu River. He went to Mathura. When he came to Mathura, he bathed in the Vishram Ghat. And then he went to Vrindavan. He traveled to the 12 forests of Vrindavan. When he was in Vrindavan, he was like a child. He was just roaming around. He bathed in the river Jamuna. He did the parikrama of Govardhan Hill. He went to Gokul Mahavan, where he took birth as Balaram. And there he was in ecstatic love, remembering Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. And after remaining for some time in Mathura, he went to Hastinapur. There he remembered his wonderful devotees, the Pandavas, Arjuna, Yudhisthira, Nakula, Sahadeva, Bhima. And he was remembering the wonderful, wonderful austerities and sacrifices the Pandavas performed in devotion to him. And he began to cry in ecstatic love, thinking of these devotees. He went to Kurukshetra. He went to Badrik Ashram, where he saw Naranarayan Rishis. He went to Naimasharanya, where he previously had punished Romaharshan Sutta. He went all the way down to the southern parts of India. He went to Tirupati and Srirangam. He was in Vishnu Kanchi and Shiva Kanchi. And when he saw how the Shivites and the Vaishnavas were arguing with each other, he simply laughed. And he went to one very famous Buddhist place of pilgrimage. And there were some Buddhists sitting. And he asked them some questions, but they didn't answer. So he kicked them in the heads. Nirvishay Shunyavad. They all ran away, and he laughed. But actually, you may think, why he kicked them in the head? Actually, the Buddhists deny the form of God. They deny God exists at all. So they were sitting in meditation for their purification. So he purified them. He gave them the dust of his lotus feet, which is the ultimate perfection of life, to receive the dust of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord on their head. They didn't know the value, but he gave it to them anyway. Supreme compassion, love, and mercy upon all living beings. He went to Setubandha, Rameshwaram, so many places he was traveling. And he came to Pandharapur. And while he was in Pandharapur, throughout the day he would dance and chant and offer oceans of love and devotion at the lotus feet of Vitthonath. And he was staying in the home of one Brahman. And this Brahman was a disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. He was a godbrother of Madhavendra Puri. And this Brahman was telling Nityananda Prabhu all about his Guru Maharaj, how he was soon going to come. At that time, Lakshmipati Tirtha was very old. He was an exalted Paramhamsa Vaishnava in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And he came to that Brahman's home. As he came, with his heart filled with love, he was just chanting the holy names. And Nityananda Prabhu, he told this Brahman, please do not tell anyone I'm here. So Lakshmipati Tirtha, as soon as he came in the Brahman's house, he said, I feel there is a very, very special exalted personality here. There is a special atmosphere that is very auspicious. But the Brahman did not say anything. So Lakshmipati Tirtha spent the whole day and the whole night just discussing the wonderful glories of Krishna as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And that night, late, he took rest and he had a dream. In the dream, first, before he had his dream, he was praying to Lord Balaram to be merciful to him. And that night, Balaram appeared to him in a dream, standing with his beautiful form, as white as a rain cloud in the spring, with blue robes and turban, holding his plow, glancing upon him so mercifully with his lotus eyes. And Balaram was worshipped by Lakshmipati Tirtha in this dream. And then the Lord spoke. He said, tomorrow an avaduta, Brahman, will come before you and ask for initiation. You should give him initiation. And this is the mantra you should give him. And then Balaram whispered the mantra in Lakshmipati Tirtha's ear. And then the Lord disappeared. And Lakshmipati Tirtha, when he woke from his dream, he was weeping and crying that he received such a good fortune of his worshipable deity, Baladev's personal darshan. And just at that moment, Lord Nityananda Prabhu came before him. And when Lakshmipati Tirtha saw the beauty of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, his heart just filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. And Nityananda Prabhu offered his prostrated obeisances, fell at the feet of Lakshmipati, and worshipped him. And Lakshmipati Tirtha lifted him up and embraced him. So by the will of the Lord, on that auspicious day, in the holy land of Pandharapur, Lakshmipati Tirtha gave formal initiation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nityananda. And then Lakshmipati Tirtha went on with his travels, and Lord Nityananda Prabhu also traveled in another direction after worshipping his Guru Maharaj. But that night, Lakshmipati Tirtha had another dream. In this dream, Lord Nityananda, who he had just initiated as his disciple, appeared before him. So beautiful, so generous with divine love. And then that form of Lord Nityananda transformed into the form of Lord Balaram to reveal his true eternal identity. Lakshmipati Tirtha woke up in lakes of tears of love. And constantly remembering Lord Nityananda Prabhu, Balaram, very soon after this, he gave up his body and returned to the spiritual world of Goloka Vrindavan.
Lord Nityananda Prabhu continued his travels, and he came to a place called Pratichi Tirtha. And there he met with Srila Madhavendra Puri. This story is so sacred that Vrindavan Das Thakur explains anyone who hears the story of the meeting of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Madhavendra Puri will most certainly achieve the wealth of pure love of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri was the initiated disciple of Lakshmipati Tirtha. He was the very jewel of Vaishnavas. He was the root of the tree of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the first one within our sampradaya to manifest the most unique and extraordinary ecstasies of the love in conjugal ras of Braja. When Lord Nityananda Prabhu came before Madhavendra Puri, he fell at Madhavendra Puri's lotus feet. And when Madhavendra Puri saw him, he was struck with love. He had never seen such a beautiful personality. And it is said that the two, as they were looking at each other, were just completely numb. They were motionless. And Madhavendra Puri lifted him up and embraced him. And as he was embracing him, they were both soaking each other with tears. And they could not let go of each other. Their voices were faltering. They could not even speak. And the disciples of Madhavendra Puri, headed by Ishwara Puri, when they saw the love of these two great souls, they were struck with wonder. In fact, when Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda Prabhu met, upon seeing each other and embracing each other, they both fell unconscious in ecstatic love. And Lord Nityananda said, "I have traveled to so many holy places of pilgrimage, but I have not seen anyone who is truly a devotee of the Lord. Now the fruit of all my pilgrimage has been fulfilled, because I am seeing the very personification of divine love of Krishna, Sri Madhavendra Puri." Madhavendra Puri and Lord Nityananda Prabhu spent many days together, day and night, having kirtan of the holy name and discussing the wonderful glories of the Lord. Madhavendra Puri considered it the perfection and fulfillment of his life. And Lord Nityananda accepted Madhavendra Puri as his spiritual master, his Shiksha Guru. He considered his prominent guru in life. In this way, although they did not want to leave one another, constantly immersed in loving, affectionate relationships, but each had their service to perform for the Lord. So with great difficulty, they parted. And Sri Nityananda Prabhu began traveling toward Setubandha Rameshwaram in the south and to so many other holy places. In this way, he ultimately came back to Vrindavan. And he decided to remain in Vrindavan until Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his leela of inaugurating the Harinam Sankirtan movement, of propagating the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Living in Vrindavan, he was always in the mood of a little child, a cowherd boy. And he would just roll in the dust of Vrindavan in great joy. And he would just never even concerned himself for eating. If someone came and brought him some milk without him asking, he would accept it. He He was so engrossed, he would play in Jamuna, and he would meet other little Brijabasis who were cowherd boys, and he would play with them. And he came to Ramghat, where Lord Balaram actually punished the river Jamuna for not being obedient to him, and where Balaram performed his beautiful Ras Leela with his gopis. And while there, Nityananda Prabhu was completely absorbed in remembering his wonderful Leela in Balaram. And it was there at Ramghat that he fell and started rolling in the ground and praying for the Supreme Lord to begin his wonderful Sankirtan movement. That the wretched fallen souls of this Kali Yuga are in such a miserable condition of forgetfulness of Krishna. They are suffering so terrible, it is unbearable to my heart. Please, my Lord, please, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, begin this wonderful Sankirtan movement and let me come and assist you to induce the whole world to chant the holy name. He was living in a place called Sringarvat in Vrindavan, which is also known as Nityanandabhat, where there was a beautiful tree, and he would sit there absorbed in the Leela of Vrindavan, but always waiting for Lord Chaitanya to begin his movement of Sankirtan. Altogether, Lord Nityananda Prabhu performed this pilgrimage for 20 years. When he was 32 years old, at that time, he understood by his own omnipotent vision and from the news coming from others that Nimai Pandit had just returned from Gaya. He had just received initiation from Ishwarapuri. He was manifesting the supreme ecstasies of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna, and he was distributing that ecstasy to everyone through the congregational chanting of the Holy Name. Nityananda Prabhu was such an obedient servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that through all this 20 years on pilgrimage, he never preached. He never taught anyone what is bhakti. He never held congregational chanting of the holy name because he wanted his Lord and Master Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to first inaugurate the Harinam Sankirtan movement in the age of Kali. And he did not feel himself qualified to preach to anyone until he received the blessings of Lord Chaitanya. He traveled to Sri Navadvip Dham, and when he arrived, he decided to go into hiding at the house of Sri Nandan Acharya, who was a very gentle and pure Vaishnava associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day, Lord Chaitanya, with his devotees in the house of Sri Devas, he went into great ecstasy. And he said, very soon a great personality will come. And then on another day in Srivas's house, the Lord, exhibiting symptoms of extraordinary love of God, he said, last night I had a dream. In this dream, I saw a chariot, the most wonderful chariot that exists.
And there was a flag decorating that chariot with the emblem of a palm tree. And standing on it was a tall, beautiful form. He was so extraordinary, very strong. He had a beautiful white complexion, eyes like lotus flowers. Never have I seen such a beautiful, such an opulent form as this. He had blue robes, dhoti and chador, and he had a blue turban on his head. He had a plow on one shoulder and a club on another. This person looked like he was intoxicated with ecstatic love of God. And 10 or 20 times he kept asking the same question, where is the house of Nimai Pandit? I believe this personality is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I approached him and asked him, who are you? And his reply was, I am your brother, and tomorrow we will meet and get to know each other. Lord Chaitanya revealed to them that this was Lord Balaram himself. And he asked Srivas Thakur and Haridas Thakur to search throughout the town of Navadvip and find Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So with this order, they went running through the streets. They looked everywhere. All the while, they understood that the Lord's eternal associate, Balaram, has come to be reunited with him. We must find him. For 9 hours they searched, and with great disappointment they returned. And they said to Lord Chaitanya that we went to the houses of the Vaishnavas, we went to the houses of people who are not Vaishnavas, we went to materialistic people's houses, we went to the bathing ghats, to the marketplaces, we looked everywhere. We could not find this extraordinary personality that you are speaking about. Lord Chaitanya began to smile, and he was thinking that Lord Nityananda Prabhu is very mysterious. No one can find him unless he reveals himself. Then Lord Chaitanya said to his devotees, you all come to me. And he walked directly to the house of Sri Nandanacharya. And Nityananda Prabhu was standing on the veranda of the home. And when the devotees saw his beautiful, transcendental form, led by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, they all offered their prostrated obeisances at his lotus feet. And when Lord Nityananda looked up and saw the beloved Lord and Master of his life, his eternal, transcendental, loving companion, whom he had been waiting his whole life to worship and to serve, when he saw the beautiful form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he just went in trance and stood motionless. It is said that his eyes were just completely immersed in seeing the beautiful form of the Lord. His nose was just 100% smelling the fragrance of the Lord. His tongue was tasting the sweetness of the Lord. His ears were hearing the glories of the Lord. Every particle of his flesh was just feeling the transcendental mercy of the Lord. In this way, he stood motionless in the supremest meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of his senses, his mind, and everything were completely absorbed in Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, please recite the glories of Krishna's qualities. And Srivas Thakur recited a beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam describing how when the Yajnapatnis, the wives of the Brahmins, went to the forest to see Krishna, how beautiful he was standing with forest flowers in his hair, and a beautiful garland of such wild flowers and peacock feathers. And he was holding his flute in his beautiful threefold bending form, which was blackish like the tamal tree. And how the dust of Vrindavan was covering his body, and he was holding his flute, and he was with his companions, the gopas. Upon hearing this wonderful description, Lord Nityananda Prabhu fell unconscious. And he fell to the ground in such a way that the devotees were fearing that he had broken his bones. And they were somehow trying to bring him back to consciousness, but they could not. So Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, continue reciting. And as he was reciting more beautiful stories about the glories of Krishna's quality and form, Nityananda Prabhu again came to his senses. And at that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually, as Lord Nityananda was down, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked him up in his arms and was embracing him and bathing him with his tears. Gadadhar Pandit was thinking that Ananta Shesha is always the resting place for the Lord, but now they have changed positions. And the Lord is the resting place for Ananta Shesha. Gadadhar Pandit could understand the transcendental position of Nityananda Prabhu. And as the two began to embrace one another and bathe one another in the tears of love from their eyes, we can never fathom or imagine that Jivatma has no capacity. What type of ecstatic ocean of love of God was manifested at the first meeting of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Lord Chaitanya asked Lord Nityananda, where have you come from? Lord Nityananda Prabhu replied, I traveled to all the holy places, but I could not find Krishna anywhere. All the temples were closed and the deities were covered. And I asked people in these holy places, where is Krishna? And they told me that he has appeared in Godadesh, Bengal. And he has recently gone to Gaya, and now he's come back to Godadesh. So I have come here. And now, by your great infinite mercy, I am seeing your worshipable lotus feet. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he began to praise Nityananda Prabhu, that such symptoms of ecstatic love are only possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And wherever you go, Nityananda Prabhu, that becomes the holiest of all holy places. And whoever sees you or touches you or chants your name will achieve love of God, love of Krishna. Lord Chaitanya told Lord Nityananda, he asked him, where should we celebrate Vyas Puja? Tomorrow is the full moon day. It is the day of the worship of Deva Vyas. So Nityananda Prabhu, he said, we will celebrate in the house of Srivas. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, this is a very difficult task you have, to organize everything for this Vyas Pooja. Srivas said, I already have all the ingredients. All I need is the book that tells the procedures. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and all the devotees went to the house of Srivas Thakur. And it was in the house of Srivas Thakur that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the devotees to begin chanting the holy names. And as they were chanting, Lord Chaitanya began to dance. And upon seeing Lord Chaitanya dancing, Lord Nityananda Prabhu began to dance. And this was the first kirtan that Gaur Nitai were dancing together. And how they danced. Sometimes they would be crying. Sometimes they would be falling unconscious. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya's feet were touching his own head. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was dancing so gracefully, it looked like he was just floating. And his hairs were standing on end, and tears were incessantly flowing from his eyes, and his limbs were trembling in ecstatic love. And Nityananda Prabhu, all the ecstasies of divine emotion were upon his body, and sometimes in love he would dance so gracefully, and other times when his foot would touch the ground, it appeared that the whole earth was shaking. And sometimes they would embrace one another. And sometimes they would try to take the dust from the other's lotus feet. But this was a very transcendental pastime, because neither would allow the other to take the dust from their lotus feet. So there was great transcendental competition, but neither could succeed. And with their arms raised, beautifully dancing together, with their eyes gazing at each other's divine forms, all the devotees were feeling the supreme ecstasy of this darshan as they very loudly called out Krishna's holy name. This kirtan went on for hours and hours and hours and hours as Gaur Nitai were dancing together to the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy names. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, tomorrow we will celebrate your Vyas Puja. And Lord Chaitanya went home. And all the devotees went home. But Nityananda Prabhu stayed in the house of Srivas Thakur. And in the middle of the night, in extraordinary ecstasy of love, he just began to roar and scream. And then he took his danda and broke it in many pieces. And then he took his kamandalu, his begging pot, and broke it in many pieces. And the brother of Srivas, Ramai Pandit, he came into the room and he saw what Lord Nityananda had done. And he went to Srivas and said, he's mad. Transcendentally mad. He's broken his danda, he's broken his kamandalu, he's screaming. Srivas said, you should tell Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya immediately came to that place. And he said to Lord Nityananda, why you have done this? Why you have broken your danda and kamandalu? Nityananda was just sitting smiling. Lord Chaitanya said, all right, let us go to the river Ganga. And Lord Chaitanya took the broken danda and kamandalu and put it in the Ganga. And as they were about to take bath, some dangerous crocodiles were in the middle of the Ganges. And when Lord Nityananda saw them, he immediately dove toward them, started swimming on them. And all the devotees were trying to call him and physically hold him back. But nothing could hold him back. Sometimes when Lord Nityananda, actually during the first meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda,
Lord Nityananda was rolling on the ground and trembling in so many ways, it appeared his bones would be broken. And at that time, all the devotees together tried to hold him down, but they couldn't. But then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally embraced him, and he became completely still. In the same way, all the devotees were trying to stop Lord Nityananda from jumping on these crocodiles. But he didn't listen to anyone. Then Lord Chaitanya called out, "Come back." And immediately Lord Nityananda left the crocodiles and came back. Lord Nityananda Prabhu was completely obedient as the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they came back to Srivasa's house, and the wonderful celebration of Vyas Puja began. Kirtan. Devotees were dancing and chanting together. And at the culmination of the ceremony, Srivas gave a garland to Nityananda Prabhu to place on Vedavyas. And he said, "Now, with great love, you worship Vedavyas by offering him this garland." And Nityananda Prabhu stood there and said, "So be it, I will." And he stood there. And Srivas said, "You placed the garland on Vyasdev." He said, "So be it, I will." He placed the garland on Vyasdev. Now it is the auspicious time. Srivas went and he said to Lord Chaitanya, "You're Nityananda Prabhu. He is not doing, he's just standing there with the garland." So then Lord Chaitanya approached Lord Nityananda and he said, "Nitai, you put the garland on Vedavyas." And then Nityananda Prabhu, in a very playful, transcendental way, he placed the garland on Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as he did that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed his form into Sadbhuja, the six-arm form. What was the six-arm form? Four arms were carrying the conch shell, the disc, the lotus flower, and the club. And the other two, one was holding Balaram's plow, and the other was holding Balaram's mace. And when Lord Nityananda Prabhu saw this beautiful form, he worshipped it in divine ecstatic love. And after this wonderful pastime took place, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu danced together for many hours in kirtan to celebrate Vyas Puja, and all the devotees were happily chanting the holy name. Took prasad, a big wonderful feast. And Nityananda Prabhu was staying at the house of Srivas Thakur. And one day Lord Chaitanya came to Srivas and he said, "Why are you letting this avaduta stay in your house? You don't know where he was born, you don't know what he has eaten, you don't know anything about him. Why are you letting him stay in your house?" And Srivas said, "I know you are testing me, because I know that Nityananda Prabhu is none different than you. He is your very heart, your very soul. He is worshipable by all." And when Lord Chaitanya heard Srivas glorifying Nityananda Prabhu, he became jubilant in ecstatic love. He said, "Srivas, you have said the right thing. This is very good." He said, "Nityananda Prabhu is most mysterious, but whoever touches him or hears him or says his, or takes the dust of his feet, whoever in any way gets his mercy will achieve love of Krishna." Nityananda Prabhu was always in the mood of a small child. And although Srivas's mother was very old, Lord Nityananda treated her just like his own mother. In fact, in Srivas's house,
Nityananda Prabhu would not eat unless Malini put the food in his mouth. This was the loving relationship that they had. And although she was very old and she hadn't had children in years and years, every time she saw Lord Nityananda, her breast would fill with milk. This was the parental love that she had for him. One time, Malini was arranging the puja articles for her husband, Srivas. And a crow came into the puja room, and the crow took a little brass cup filled with ghee. And Malini was thinking that my husband, Srivas, what will he say? This brass cup filled with ghee is necessary for his puja. He will be very angry with me. I have seen how he sometimes gets angry when his worship is being disturbed. So Malini began to cry. Meanwhile, the crow came back without the cup. So Nityananda Prabhu came just at that moment. Mataji, why you are crying? What is your distress? Whatever your distress, I will relieve it. She said, this crow, he flew away with Srivas's brass cup for worshipping Krishna, and he has come back without it. I don't know what to do. So Nityananda Prabhu, with great love, he spoke to the crow. He said, crow, bring back the brass cup of Srivas. So the crow flew away, and within a minute came back with the cup still filled with ghee. And Malini was so happy. She said, this is no small thing for you to do to get the crow to come back. So when your teacher, Sandipani Muni, when his children were dead, you brought them back from the abode of Yamaraj. You can bring back any dead person from the abode of Yamaraj. As Anantashesha, you are holding all the universes on the hoods. You can deliver anyone. This is no big thing for you. This is a very small thing that you have asked the crow to bring back this cup. But actually, nothing you do is small. Nothing is unimportant. Whatever you do is supremely glorious and great, because you are always protecting and giving satisfaction to your devotees. Sachi Devi also, she saw Nityananda Prabhu as her own son. Her greatest pleasure was to feed Gaur Nitai together. And one time Sachi Mata came to Lord Chaitanya and she said, I had a wonderful dream last night. I saw our deities of Krishna and Balaram, and they were being worshipped on the altar, and I offered them nice sandesh and sweetmeats, rasgullas. And then I saw you and Nitai, and I saw that Nityananda had the deity of Krishna, and you had the deity of Balaram, and you were taking them out of the temple. And then Balaram and Krishna began to fight with you. They were fighting over who would eat the offerings. And Balaram said, what are you doing? You cannot do this. You cannot steal my offerings and Krishna's offerings. And Nityananda Prabhu said, no, your time is up. Krishna is no longer the Lord. Now Lord Chaitanya has come. He is the Supreme Lord. He has come. All offerings must be given to him. Balaram said, if you behave like this, we will tie you up, we will beat you. You cannot treat Krishna like this. This is the way they were fighting, snatching the sandeshes out of each other's hands, trying to eat them. And then through all this, Nityananda Prabhu began to call to me, Sachi Mata, I am hungry. And then the dream broke. Lord Chaitanya said, this is a wonderful dream, but do not tell anyone that you have seen this dream. He said, actually, you should understand that our deities have great potency. Previously, when we offered food that you cooked, I would go on the altar and offer it, and I would see that less food was there. And I was thinking, my wife, Vishnu Priya, that she was stealing the food. But now I know that the deities eat them. Meanwhile, Vishnu Priya was listening, and she was very happy, smiling, to hear this nice talk. He said, you prepare prasad, and I will call Nityananda. So Sachi Mata very happily prepared a nice feast of prasad, and Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu came together, and they sat down, and Sachi Mata went into the kitchen to bring some other preparations, and when she came in, she saw Gorni Thai were in the forms of two little five-year-old children. One had a white complexion, one had a blue complexion. They both had four arms. And when she saw them, her eyes became flooded with tears. And with the pots in her hand, she just fell down unconscious in ecstatic love. And her servant, Ishan, came running to try to clean up what the mess that was caused by the pots falling. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself got up and lifted his mother. And he said, what happened? And she couldn't speak a word. She just went into a secluded place and began to weep in transcendental devotion to the Lord. One time, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was approached by Lord Chaitanya, and he said, Nithai, please give me your kopan. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu gave Lord Chaitanya his kopan, and Lord Chaitanya tore the kopan into little strips of cloth and gave one to each of the devotees. And he said, wrap this around your head because this is the cloth of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And then he began to glorify the wonderful qualities of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. That anyone who receives his mercy, anyone who receives his prasad, anyone who gains his mercy will definitely get love for Radha and Krishna. You should keep this kopan always. You should worship it. You should consider it your life and soul. It is the prasad of Nithai. And meanwhile, while Lord Chaitanya was saying this, Lord Nityananda was just in a trance of love of God. And then Lord Chaitanya began to wash Lord Nityananda's feet, and he collected the water and distributed it to all the devotees. And he began to extol the glories of the water that washes Lord Nityananda Prabhu's feet. And all the devotees began sprinkling the water and drinking the water. And as they were drinking the water, they were just filled with happiness as everyone was celebrating this wonderful occasion by chanting the holy name. In this way, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu performed wonderful pastimes in Sri Navadvip. And they were always together. They could not leave each other's company. It was during this time that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur to go to every house, to every person, and request them to take the name of Krishna. And during this time, Nityananda Prabhu, by his causeless mercy, he met with Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai, so angry that they were interrupting their sinful activities, They went to kill Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, who ran away. And on another occasion, Nityananda Prabhu again approached Jagai and Madhai and asked them to take the name of Krishna. And Madhai beat him on the head with a clay pot. Nityananda Prabhu was bleeding. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. He invoked the Sudarshan Chakra to kill them. And Nityananda Prabhu prayed, "Please give them love of God. Do not end their life." By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, Jagai and Madhai became Paramahamsa Vaishnav, devotees of the Lord. During the wonderful kirtan on the streets, from Lord Chaitanya's house to that of Chand Kazi, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was dancing ecstatically by the side of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through all the town, village, bathing places of all of Navadvip Dham. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, during their pastimes in Navadvip, were giving love of God to everyone and anyone without any discrimination. But some of the student class, who were very puffed up by their educational qualifications and their high birth, they were criticizing Lord Chaitanya. So one day Lord Chaitanya approached Lord Nityananda. He said, "I have come with a particular medicine to cure people of the disease of material life. But I find that the medicine is having an opposite effect. People's fever are becoming more severe. People are taking me to be an ordinary person, and they are making offenses to me. They want to beat me, and by doing this, they are destroying their own spiritual lives. So out of compassion and mercy for them, very soon, I will shave my head, and I will take on the saffron robes, and I will become a sannyasi. Because if I take to the renounced order of life, everyone will bow down to me. Everyone will respect me. And when they bow down to respect me, they will achieve Krishna prema." "You know, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, you know why I have descended in this world. You know why we have descended to this world. We have descended to give Krishna prema even to the most fallen malechas and yavanas, to everyone without discrimination. We have come to flood this planet with the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. For this purpose, I must take sannyas. I must leave my home and give Krishna prema to the world. But I cannot do so without your permission. So please, Nitai, give me your blessings and permission, after careful thought, to help me achieve the fulfillment of our incarnation." When Nityananda Prabhu heard this, his heart was ripped to shreds. The thought of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving up all the enjoyments of his beautiful life in Navadvip and his associates, taking the severe, hard, and simple life of a sannyasi, shaving his beautiful, beautiful locks of black hair, it was too much. Nityananda Prabhu became like a statue, still shocked to hear these things. But somehow or other, as the servant of the Lord, he spoke. He said, "You are the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever you desire is perfect. Your compassion is perfect. And you know how to deliver all fallen souls. No one can question you. No one can forbid you. Whatever you do, you must do. I can only offer my obeisance at your lotus feet.
But I beg you, please consult your other servants and tell them what is your thinking. In this way, Lord Chaitanya was very happy. And he said, thank you, Nitai.